Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, where we are going into the book of Revelation in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, 1. And the dragon, Satan, stood on the sand of the seashore. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, that's the masses of humanity, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power, dunamis, and his throne, and great authority. This beast is a system, a satanic system, and so it has the very nature of Satan himself. This beast, this animal beast, ties us to the Gentile empires that ruled over Israel and that Jesus prophesied in Luke 21. We're going to read that again today. Luke 21, and Jesus was answering the questions of his apostles. They had asked him, he had prophesied that the second temple would be destroyed, the temple they knew at that time, the temple that was there when Jesus walked the earth, that temple would be destroyed. They had pointed out the marvelous huge stones, and if you go there today, you're still impressed by the huge stones that are in the wall. The western wall is still standing. It's not the temple wall, but it's the wall that held the artificial platform Herod built when he refurbished the temple in a long rebuilding program. And so those young apostles, probably around 30 or under, they said to their master, "Oh, look at those stones." He said, "Don't get your mind on those stones. Not one will be left standing upon another." And none of the temple stones are left standing. It's just the one wall as a witness. A wall of the platform area. And so they heard him prophesy that the temple's going to be destroyed, and they talked it over as they walked from Mount Moriah, where the temple is, across the Kidron Valley and over to the Mount of Olives, where they often went. And so they said to him there, they had two carefully posed questions. Number one, when will these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? And number two, what is the sign of your parousia? Parousia always meant the coming of an emperor or a king. And so they were asking him, when are you going to come as the king Messiah? They knew he was the Messiah. But when are you going to come as the king Messiah and set up your kingdom? And so he gave them some signs. In Matthew 20:24, he speaks to them about the signs just before the Antichrist comes. In Luke, he's giving them the signs. They ask him, when will these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? And so he's telling them it's going to be destroyed. And he says, you will see Jerusalem compassed with armies, Luke 21:20, and that, of course, is Roman armies. And then he said that they'll be defeated. And verse 24, then they, the Jews, shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Titus the Roman, he was the son, the general son of his father Vespasian, who was the emperor of Rome. And they led away the Jews captive into all the nations. They were dispersed. And Jerusalem, Jesus goes right to the capital city, the holy city. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What are Gentiles? Who are Gentiles? And what is this something called the times of the Gentiles? It's a length of time. And Jesus said that when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, then I'll come and set up my kingdom on the earth. So we need to know, what are the times of the Gentiles? The only place, the only book, the only prophet that gives us the sequence of the times of the Gentiles is the prophet Daniel. So we'll have to go back there. And we already see from Revelation 13:2 The beast which I saw was like a leopard. Daniel saw that beast like a leopard, and one like a bear, and it had a bear, and it had characteristics in Revelation 13 of the leopard, the bear, the lion. All that comes from the book of Daniel. So in order to understand the ending, we're going to have to go back to the beginning when these were first introduced to us. And we have to understand, first of all, who are the Gentiles, and then we'll look at their times. Remember that as we're studying the book of Revelation, we, of course, obey the instruction Paul gave, the Holy Ghost through Paul, in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're going to rightly divide it. We have to find out in the book of Revelation, it's talking, like it is in all the Bible, to three different groups of peoples. 1 Corinthians 10:32 tells us that scriptures can be written about three groups of peoples. Some of the scriptures are, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Three groups of peoples. King James would read it Jews, Gentiles, church. Now the word Gentiles is really, it's in the Old Testament as well. And in the Old Testament, it is the translation of the Hebrew word for nations, goyim. So it really has that same meaning in the New Testament here. The Jews, the nations, and the church. There is a reason why, if you have a newer translation of the Bible, some of the manuscripts from which our Bibles are translated say Greeks. And so yours might say Greeks. Yours might say Jews, Greeks, and church. The reason being, because of, and we'll find out about it when we go back to the book of Daniel. When Alexander the Great, conquered the world, then he promoted, and there was promoted thereafter, the Greeks called themselves the Hellenes, H-E-L-L-E-N-E-S, we would spell it, the Hellenes. And so they Hellenized the world, the known world, the prophetic world at that time. And so it was still under this Greek influence. And that's why all the Gentile world at the time of 1 Corinthians 10:32 had been Hellenized, and your Bible says Greeks. The Jews, the nations, and the church are how we're going to look at it, though. In the book of Revelation, he says certain things to the church, starts off talking to seven churches. But in the 7 years of the tribulation period that so much of the book of Revelation talks about, it has to do with the Jews and the nations on the earth. The church being in heaven with God at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So Jesus gave the times of the Gentiles, and he said when they're fulfilled, he's going to come and set up his earthly visible kingdom. And then he goes down and says, watch the fig tree, that's Israel, and all the trees, the other nations of prophecy. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So these Gentile nations of prophecy we're going to look at. We have to first off know who are the Gentiles. In order of their appearance in the Bible, these three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church, the first group that we see as a group is the nations. And the nations are introduced to us after the flood. You know, because of the great corruption that had come into the earth. And I don't understand all about it, but it seems that beings had mated with women and giants were born, and the whole of earth's population was corrupted. And there was only one man and his family that were not corrupted and that had knowledge of God. And that's Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And so the flood came, and the flood was judgment to destroy all of the corrupted of the earth. If it had not been for that flood, we could not be here today. Praise the Lord. The knowledge of God, I'm quite sure, would have disappeared from the earth. So the first group of people is shown to us after the flood, the nations, Hebrew, goyim. And we're going to turn now to chapter 10 of the book of Genesis. And Noah and his three sons, of course, they land and they have the token of the rainbow that God is not going to, it's a covenant, the first mention of covenant. He has a covenant. I do, chapter 9 of verse 13 of Genesis, I do set my bow in the cloud and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And the earth then will never be destroyed by a flood anymore. So they get off the boat. And then in chapter 10, we have this marvelous chapter which says, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. And it gives you the sons, the first son, Japheth, and the ones who descended from him. After it gives his descendants, it says, verse 5, by these were the isles of the nations, Gentiles, King James says, but remember it's nations. By these were the isles of the nations, divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. And then verse 6, chapter 10, verse 6, and the sons of Ham. And it gives us the sons of Ham, Cush, which would be Ethiopia and Sudan today, Mizraim, Egypt, Phut, Libya, Canaan, and then from his sons who came after them. We especially want you to remember verse 8, Cush begat Nimrod. And then verse 21, and unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber. Eber, that's where we get the word Hebrew, E-V-E-R, Eber, Hebrew. And unto him were born sons, and it names them. We see Elam, that is today the Persians. And we see the Jews in here, and we see the Arabs in here as those who descended from Shem. After it's told us all of these, we have 70 nations. Verse 31, these are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So for you to see what God means when he says nations and when he says Gentiles, you have to go back to first mention. The law of first mention is so important. And the first mention of the Gentiles is here after the flood in Genesis chapter 10. Be with us tomorrow when we look at some very interesting things here. I'd like to invite you to come and be with us at the Autumn Assembly of Prayer, our annual meeting. So important this year, just before the elections. It begins October 25th through 29th in Branson, Missouri. We'd like to have you register if you're coming. Just let us know and we'll get a name tag for you. Go to billybrim.org or call us at 1-800-972-3447 and we'll be ready to meet you. We need your supply of the Spirit in prayer. Join the Copelands, Lynn Hammond, Chip Brim, me, and hundreds and thousands even of prayers from all around the world. And then, too, we'll be back here tomorrow on the Believers One Witness, the voice of one witness.